So Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servants fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servants, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And the thing of forgiving others is also the last half of the Lord's Prayer, which did come up, and it says the last half. For some reason, God, Jesus, in a prayer that we're meant to follow, the outline of how we can pray, forgiving our debtors, forgiving those others, is really the highlight in many ways of it. So it must be really important about forgiving. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Can we have the rest? Yeah. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When I looked at the Unmerciful Servant 2 years ago, I was looking at why did Peter go and ask this? And because back then, he was pretty good to do the right thing according to the traditions. You only had to forgive someone 3 times. Then I presume you could punch him in the face, I'm not sure, but anyhow. And so that's what I was looking at last time. But I never noticed right at the bottom, the last bit, saying how that... he was talking about him being angry, not forgetting debts, not forgiving the master. And he said, shouldn't you have mercy on a fellow servant? He was so angry, the master, and he turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And also, Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And I just sort of looked over that and went on. But this was Jesus talking to the disciples. He wasn't talking to people outside his following. He was talking to his disciples that you are going to be treated like that unless you forgive. Oh. And it's so sort of thinking over that, this must be very important. And then when we look at the New Testament and the Lord's Prayer, and talk about forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And back in the unforgiving servant, if we forgive, well, we are delivered from the evil one. But if we don't deliver, well, we're not delivered from the evil. There's consequences. Not forgiving is a sin. Otherwise, God wouldn't be telling us, Jesus wouldn't be telling us about it. We need to forgive. But that, the closer the person that's hurt you, especially if it's in the family, the harder it is to forgive. It's a process. And so just last time I had a little list out what unforgiveness does to us. First of all, we get resentment and we start to keep a record of the wrongs. They did that to me, and you can go through the list. But the record of this list plays over and over and over again. You can't get rid of it. And so it starts to lead to bitterness. Have we got all that up there? Yes. So it leads to bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So unforgiveness allows bitterness to come in. And when you think about it, it starts to churn in your heart as well. So it's connecting your spirit or your mind, what you're thinking about, starts to affect your health as well. And it's like a poison. And it poisons the body and starts to eat away at you. But, unforgiveness now is a disease. The medical professions acknowledge it as a disease. I don't know what pill they give you, but I think God's got a better way of giving a pill or whatever you do that way. So it realises that a bitter root grows up and causes trouble. And it causes trouble like the next one is anger. You start thinking about it. Oh, this is not right. This is not fair. And anger and rage and hatred start to, when we start thinking about it, starts boiling away. And but Romans 12:7 says, do not repay evil for evil, but we want evil for evil. And Romans 12:17 says that, but we want revenge, and we are going to retaliate. And you start remembering what you did to me, and you deserve to suffer when you're thinking about this person. In fact, you don't even deserve to exist. At least you don't deserve to exist in my presence. And so when you walk down the street, you've crossed, or you meet them in the shopping centre, you avoid them because you don't want them in your space at all. And so it can still lead further. this slippery slope. Violence comes along and they are going to pay for all they did, and they're going to pay more than, they're going to know all about the hurt and pain I've gone through. They're going to pay, and which can lead to murder. And think, well, I haven't done that, but this may, this murder may be just murder with the tongue. It might be character assassination. I'll let everyone know what you're like. Or it may be verbal abuse when you explode in anger. And in the Sermon on the Mount, I can get it, thanks. Yeah. The Sermon on the Mount quotes the law, which says, anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But then Jesus says, anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment. Because this is the, we're not under the law, we're under a higher law, the law of love. And the law of love says to love your enemy. And this person's, he's my enemy, so. So we've looked at what unforgiveness can lead to if we let it boil away and go over and over. So what forgiveness is not, because we think, oh, if I forgive him, if I forgive that person, I'm going to let him off the hook. No way am I doing that. I want justice. But what we've got to do is, and when we forgive, we're forgiving the person, we're not forgiving what they've done. We're not saying that it's okay, because it's not okay. And God is going to judge that person. So what we've got to do is take that person off our judgment, off our hook, and hand it to Jesus and let him judge. And then we sort of separate the issues with the person. We're forgiving the person. We're not forgiving what he'd done or she did. So it's not saying it's okay. Not saying the offender is innocent. We're not even doing that person a favour. We're just saying to God, I forgive him. You don't even have to necessarily go to the person and say, I forgive you. It's between you and God, this forgiveness. Even someone that's died, you still may need to forgive them. They're not on this planet, but that hurt is still there, chewing away. Now, also, we're not, by forgiving, we're not setting the guilty free. We're not saying, oh, what he did doesn't matter. It does, it affects you greatly. And they're still guilty. Forgiveness is for our benefit, not for theirs. And we're not just forgetting what happened. You can still remember it. But by forgiving, that pain goes away. Because if we say, oh, just forget about it, it's still there and it's buried. In fact, it's buried, and it might come up later, but when it's buried, it still affects us. Now, about 20 years ago, we went to England on a course, and one of the subjects was forgiveness. And they said, went through the family who you need to forgive, and said, well, you need to forgive your grandfather. And my grandfather, he used to, him and his, my grandmother, set up the second, at the front, on the second row, and we sat down the back on the second row and never talked. My grandparents thought you should only have three children, and I was the fourth. And I never had a conversation with my grandfather in all my life. Even when you went out together, congregation met outside after you'd left the church. I think I remember once he might have acknowledged me. But I suppose I buried it. I didn't think any more about it. He was just that person up there. He's my grandfather, I think. Yeah. But when I forgave, going through the forgiveness, wow! In fact, you can even feel it coming up now, can't you? Maybe I need more prayer. Obviously, it was buried. And obviously, there's still more to deal with. Because you can see it come. Coming up now. Oh, well. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We've all got someone to forget. And also, forgiveness is not trusting the person. That person, even if he says sorry, he has got to you've got to see the fruit of a repentance. You don't necessarily, he's got to prove that he's trustworthy again, that person. So don't get caught in that trap that you have to trust. He's got to prove that he's trustworthy, or she has. Now, what forgiveness does is it sets us free from the past. It helps restore our health, because that can be affected. Simon Gilbert Band does podcasts, and he knew an African when he was in Burundi. I looked it up. Where's Burundi? It is a country, and it's below Rwanda in South Africa. In Africa, I should say. And this friend he knew, in fact, he nursed him when this friend was only 3 years old. And what happened to him at 3 years old, which happens a lot in Africa, he saw these men murder his parents, and they were hacked to death. And he was later found on the rubbish dump trying to look after himself. And moving on, he obviously became a Christian. God told him to forgive. And during that time, from 3 years old to 8 years old, he hadn't grown. He was still the same size, maybe a little more weight, as the three-year-old that was traumatised by witnessing his parents' death. So at the age of eight, he sensed God telling him to love your enemies. Bless people who persecute you. And if you do not forgive them, you will not be forgiven. He sensed the Holy Spirit telling him that. And God was telling him that this was for his good. So he forgave. He prayed to God, and what he said was, I forgive those sickos, because they definitely were sick. And from that forgiveness, he started to grow again. And now he's a normal size, which is sort of incredible, isn't it? But now we're going to watch something else, which is Philip Yancey had a book about what's so amazing about grace. And he recorded this girl. It's going back a while. There was a movie out for Dead Men Walking, and this is the girl, Debbie Morris, who went, we'll hear her story, but she said, before she forgave, she said hate and anger was holding onto her and destroying her life, because she was just hanging to it. I was letting these men control and victimise me over and over again, every time you think about it, because I was hanging on to the hate and I was unwilling to forgive. So we're going to watch 6-minute testimony that Debbie's going to give.